呀，whistle while you work. La 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 la. Whistle while you work.
Oh, I think I stuffed 4,000 envelopes this morning.
Yeah, and this is the 63rd box I've filled in the last hour.
Mother's got us worrying like beavers.
I know it. I don't see how she can walk out on all this work and leave it to beavers.
Where's Maud? I want to see Maud. She's forced me to close my office down. She's got my nurse going door to door soliciting.
Soliciting?
Yes.
Nurse Pruitt soliciting?
It means for campaign funds, Vivian, not men.
Oh, of course. Pruitt's 35 years of age. She's way over the hill for anything but funds. Oh, hi, Carol. She's got half a tucko working on this silly project of hers.
All right, stop calling it silly.
It certainly is silly. There's a medical practice going on. People are ill and need it. And I never thought, what's the heck?
Is anything wrong, Walter?
Anything wrong?
What could be wrong? Doesn't everybody's wife run up a $1,643 phone bill every month? Oh, Walter, what'll I do?
Well, I know what I do.
What?
You owe me $20 for medical advice.
Isn't funny. 61 long distance calls, 2,806 local message units.
Walter, there's nothing to worry about. Mother says we'll get it all back as soon as the campaign contributions start rolling in.
I've seen Maud get excited over her wild ideas before, but this time, I bet she doesn't sleep 4 hours a night. She's either writing or phoning or planning meetings.
Well, you know her. Now, she's had these super highs off and on ever since I was a kid.
I must say, though, I do love her when she gets excited about these projects. Remember, like that time she backed that fellow who invented a universal solvent and then lost it all when he couldn't find anything to keep it in? You know, she's so dynamic.
Ta-da! Are you ready, folks? Bring it in, boys. Our official campaign poster. HFP. Henry Fonda for president. Put it over there, boys. Oh, mark this prediction. The initials HFP will go down in history. Bigger than FDR. Bigger than JFK. Bigger than LBJ.
B-U-L.
Funny, Walter. Pathetic, but funny. Listen, honey, do you have any money for a tip? Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Here, boys, here's $50.
$50?
Thanks for your trouble. Oh, is this a candidate or is this a candidate? Mm. Oh, my God, he'll look gorgeous on Mount Rushmore. When you hear our new campaign song, Walter. Ain't he great? You know he ought to be head of state. So speaking very presidentially, huh? Presidentially? Ain't he great? Come on, girls, let's do it the way we rehearsed. Okay?
Oh, ain't he great? We're gonna make him head of state. So the hell with keeping it confidentially. Ain't he great?
I love you. You are such fun to work with. Carol! You stuffed the envelope incorrectly. I told you I do not want Mr. Fonda's face folded. Look, you've creased his teeth.
I'm sorry, Mother. I'm sure that's the only one I did wrong.
Oh, sure. Sometimes I think I should do everything myself. Not only is nobody trying to help me, but I even get the feeling of sabotage.
Sabotage?
Maud, you have some nerve accusing your family and friends of letting you down.
That's right, Walter. This whole idea of yours is stupid anyway. Running an actor for president.
Oh, is that so, Arthur? Well, who do you want to be our next president?
Ronald Reagan. And don't give me that look, Maud Finley. Ronald Reagan was never an actor and you know it.
Maud, you're doing all this work and spending all of this money on something that's out of your reach. Look, I admit that Henry Fonda is a decent, sensible, honest man, but he can't be elected president.
Not with those qualifications.
Walter, look around you. Listen to all of your friends. I don't believe there is one single candidate that anybody is the least bit excited about. I mean, it seems to me that every single candidate is a guess. How about Henry Fonda as a guess? He's certainly the best of the lot.
I agree with Mother.
So do I.
And I'm sure Mr. Fonda feels the same way, doesn't he?
Well, if he doesn't now, he certainly will once I call him and tell him he's running for president.
Mother, you haven't even talked to Henry Fonda yet?
You mean you haven't talked to him?
What?
I don't believe it.
Marge, suppose he doesn't want to go into politics?
Arthur, I am offering him the presidency of the United States. How can he turn me down?
What?
Oh, come on. Now, look, I mean, our generation is going to make it, but what about Philip? What about our grandson? I mean, what guarantee have we that in 25 years there'll be a world he can live in? So I say the hell with the old familiar faces and tired phrases. I've always been fond of Fonda.
How about that for a slogan?
I'm fond of Fonda. I'm fond of Fonda. Carol, can you see that on your bumper? when slogans come this easily and this fast, it's an omen.
Omen? Maud, it's a pipe dream. You know what you're beginning to sound like? You're beginning to sound...
2 months at Berlitz, and that's what he learns.
Maud, you'll never even get a chance to talk to him. I know if I were Henry Fonda, I wouldn't answer your call.
Exactly. And it's just that kind of thinking, Walter, that's keeping you from being president of the United States.
We'll be in a moment, folks. You know, psychiatrists don't usually have office hours on Saturday. If you'd given me a call, I'd have been glad to meet you down at the office.
Well, Mort said she knew you, Dr. Lester, and since you live in a neighborhood, well... I guess I'm looking for a little reassurance.
I'll handle this, Walter. After all, we're fellow doctors.
It's like this, Herb. Herbie?
Yeah?
You see, Walter and Carol, his stepdaughter here, were concerned about Maud, see? So I told them, look, if you're concerned about Maud, you ought to see my old buddy, Herbie Lester, the best psychiatrist in the Eastern Seaboard.
That's very kind and generous of you, Lawrence.
Arthur.
Oh, yes. Thinking of Lawrence Harmon. You're Arthur Hancock.
Oh, I'm Arthur Harmon.
Oh, of course. That's nice to meet you. Well, I suppose you're all worried about Maud and her campaign to elect Henry Fonda president.
You know about it?
Everyone in town knows about it. She's been calling my office for weeks trying to get my endorsement. Yeah, look here. She even sent me this hat here. Ain't he great? That's really catchy.
Doctor, the reason we're so worried about my mother is... she's gone to all of this trouble and all this expense. She hasn't even talked to Mr. Fonda yet.
Well, I'm not surprised. You think she might have gone overboard, eh? Well, that usually happens sooner or later to someone who might be a manic depressive.
Manic depressive?
Well, I thought you knew.
What the hell are you talking about, Doctor? My wife is no maniac.
Waller.
Oh, listen, Mr. Finley, the word manic doesn't mean anyone's a maniac. Far from it. And Maud's in very good company. I mean, we even suspect that Abraham Lincoln was a manic depressive. And so was Teddy Roosevelt, Winston Churchill.
But I don't care about them. I also don't care for doctors who diagnose unseen patients from their Model T Fords.
Now, you didn't hear me out, Mr. Finley. About 19 years ago, Maud spent some time in therapy with me. And I told her then, God bless her, that she had manic depressive tendencies.
I's crazy. Now, Maud may be driving me up a wall, but she's not crazy. Doctor, you're a beanbag.
He's not saying Maud is crazy. He's just saying she may need a little help.
Yeah, it's quite possible she might. You know, all of us, at some time or other in our lives, have emotional highs and lows, you know. And uncontrolled, the higher this gets, the lower this can get. And both emotional extremes, well, they can be dangerous.
You buy all of this about Maud, Carol? You do, Arthur?
I suspected it, yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. You're all nuts!
Oh, Walter! Don't get so upset. You know, the manic depressive disorders, they seem to be physical. I mean, we learned that recently. At any rate, they're easy to control with the proper medication. You know, manic depressives are people with a chemical imbalance in the blood. Now, listen, Walter, I'm telling you, there may be 20 million Americans who suffer from some variation of the same disorder.
Really?
Why, certainly.
And manic depressives, by the way, are some of the most interesting people I know. I mean, their enthusiasm and their persuasiveness, it can really work wonders sometimes.
There you are, you devils. What are they trying to do, Herb? Talk you into that Fonda campaign endorsement? Do I have family? Do I have friends? Oh, Walter, sweetheart, Carol, darling. Hello, Arthur. Herb, Wednesday night, I am having some people over to discuss the campaign, and I'd be so happy if you'd join us.
I'd love to come.
Good.
Who'll be there?
Well, all of us, of course, and some campaign strategists from Madison Avenue.
Maud. Maud, you're dragging more and more people into our hopeless cause.
Hopeless? Walter, I think that just one of our guests Wednesday night might change your mind.
Who?
Henry Fonda.
Oh, Carol, it's so exciting, isn't it? And even I think that Henry Fonda's actually going to be in this house. Henry Fonda. Hank. Here. No, shame on me.
Vivian, I have never heard such hogwash. Oh. Henry Fonda is a man just like any other man. Thank you, Bib.
Carol, she's done it again. Did she tell you, huh? I mean, did she tell you?
She tell me why?
Did she tell you how she got Henry Fonda to come here tonight?
Yes, she called his agent and asked him.
Yes, but she didn't even mention running him for president. She asked him to fly in to do his one-man show, Darryl, at the Tuckahoe Community Theater.
We don't have a Tuckahoe Community Theater.
We do now. You're standing in it.
Oh, that's marvelous. I've never seen a Broadway hit in a living room before. Walter, you can't tell me that Mr. Fonda would fly 3,000 miles because some lady calls his agent and says she wants him to do Darryl for one night.
That lady also wired his agent $5,000 of our money. Ooh. As a deposit against a $20,000 guarantee.
Oh, no.
How can she spend that much? She's practically wiped out our bank account.
Oh, Walter, Dr. Lester's right. Mother's got a terrible problem.
Oh, come on now, Carol. She may be pig-headed, but she's as normal as I am.
Speaking very presidentially, ain't he great? Everybody, how do I look?
Fine.
I want Mr. Fonda to know I'm sincere. You know, folksy yet chic. Sort of a cross between Will and Ginger Rogers. That must be Mr. Fonda.
Arthur, go stand somewhere else. I want him to think I'm alone.
Oh, Dr. Lester, how nice to see you. And our ad man, Mr. Crowell. Please meet my husband, Walter. My daughter, Carol. My dear friends, Dr. and Mrs. Harmon. And, of course, you all know our presidential press secretary, Gus Lambino. Gus is very well known as a taxi driver, but he is best known as the only man in existence who's had over 420 letters to the editor printed in the New York Daily News.
Look for him. I always sign him fed up.
Or sometimes just his initials.
What? A cab driver as presidential press secretary?
What's wrong with that? Why not?
Well,
let's
not have an argument about this. No, please, let's not.
Don't tell me. You're Henry Fonda. Please come.
I'm looking for the Tuckahoe Community Theater. My agent gave me this address, but obviously there's been some mistake.
Oh, well, it's not really a mistake.
No, it's more like a lie.
I'm afraid I don't understand. 7 o'clock, I'm due on stage at 8:30. I've never missed a curtain in my life.
Oh, my God, what strength of character. Mr. Fonda, you are at the right address. I'm Mrs. Findlay. Please, won't you sit down? Have a cheese doodle and I'll explain it.
Thank you, but I'm afraid I don't care for cheese doodles.
Straight from the shoulder.
You don't care for cheese doodles. You didn't hem and haw. You didn't try to be politic. You gave it to me straight from the shoulder. I'm afraid I don't care for cheese doodles. Gentlemen, Carol, if you will. Mr. Fonda, I proudly present you with your next career. President of the United States.
Mrs. Finley, this joke would have worked better if you'd gotten one that lit up in the dark. Jimmy Stewart put you up to this, right?
I'm afraid my wife is serious, Mr. Fonda.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Fonda, if you look outdoors right now, you'll see a skywriter spelling out Henry Fonda for president.
Well, he needs to take spelling lessons. Driving up here, I saw a plane riding Henry Fondue.
So sorry.
I thought he was advertising some new cheese dip.
I'll take up flying. Next time, I'll write it.
Mrs. Finley, I have this sinking feeling you're really serious.
I am very serious, sir.
Well, so am I. Look, I was coming east anyway in a couple of days. I'll have my agent send your check back. I appreciate the compliment, if that's what it is.
Look, Mr. Fonda, please, 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes of your time. Please, please, 2 minutes. 2 minutes, that's all I ask. Please, Mr. Fonda, sit down. 2 minutes. Look, Mr. Fonda, look around you. This is your headquarters. You are a presidential candidate.
Mrs. Findlay, as we used to say back home, a cat may have kittens in the oven, but that don't make them biscuits.
Oh, that's marvelous. And I said Eisenhower was witty.
Mr. Fonda, I saw you play Clarence Darrow, and I was overwhelmed by the way your earthiness and your honesty and your integrity came shining through.
I also played Jesse James' brother.
And you played him beautifully.
Oh, yes, I just loved you in that. And I also thought Ty Power was awfully cute as Jesse.
Mrs. Findlay. Friend of Mrs. Findlay. I'm an actor, not a politician, so if you'll excuse me.
Please, Mr. Fonda, hear me out!
Maude, please, excuse me, if I may, for just a moment, please. As much as I admire and I respect Mr. Fonda, there is no way that you can interest enough of the electorate to believe that Henry Fonda, a lifelong actor, has the qualifications for presidential leadership.
That's right. Applaud him. Applaud a totally defeatist speech. Let me tell you something about my dream, Mr. President. That does sound good, doesn't it? Mr. President. Sure, you say you're totally and completely inexperienced, but inexperienced at what? Inexperienced at corruption, at pandering to special interests, at duplicity. Mr. Fonda, you have something that no other candidate has. It's what I call spiritual honesty. Mr. Fonda, you are the quintessential American and the only one who can bring to this country the leadership it so desperately needs. Ladies and gentlemen, your next president of the United States.
Hey! I pledge $1,000. I told you they were persuasive.
Mrs. Findlay, I'm positive you can do anything you set your mind to do. But I do not wish to become the President of the United States. And because I am so sure that you could do anything you set your mind to, if you do succeed in getting me nominated, I will not run. Incidentally, that was a wonderful speech. You do Daryl better than I do. Thank you and good night. He's gone. He's gone because he didn't think it was possible.
No, Maud. He's gone because he didn't want to do it.
He didn't want to do it because he didn't think it could be done. But anything, Walter, anything is possible if you do something to make people take you seriously.
But what, Maud?
I'm going to burn down the house. Think it's a nutty idea, don't you? Which shows how little you know about leadership. It is a genius idea. I burn down this house. Somewhere in New Jersey, somebody burns his house down. A minister in Iowa burns his church down. I mean, don't tell me that then people won't seriously take the Henry Fonda for president campaign. It's... You're all totally without imagination.
She's going into this now, Walter.
I don't believe it. I can snap her out of it just like that. Would you all mind leaving us alone for just a minute?
Sure.
You hang in there, Mother.
Oh, Walter. I'm so tired.
Oh, no, you're not, sweetheart. You've got all the stamina and spunk in the world.
No, not anymore, Walter. Oh, it's all my fault. I had the opportunity. I missed it.
No, believe me, sweetheart, you didn't do anything wrong.
I did everything wrong, Walter. Everything.
Oh. Maud, darling, I'm sorry I didn't see it sooner. Oh, my sweet, sweet darling. It'll be all right.